Welcome back to episode 110 of Chess Journeys, Tales of Adult Improvement. Here at Chess Journeys, we love to explore the glories of rating gains, but we also dive into the more common issue of the plateaus or even the pits of despair below that. If you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon Chess Journeys. And I do want to thank the Queen level supporters, Matt Bush, Jay Garrison, Donna Rich Burgess, Brandon Hallside, David Shriver, Lindsay Newhall, Jeff Peterson, Tobias Rex, Bob Berger, Nicholas Harrigan, Rich Bradley Fanner, and our King level supporter, Ian Samples. I have been streaming a little on Dr. Skull underscore Tiny Grimes. The school year has begun for me. I am back at work, so streams are less often. If you want to appear on the show, you should fill out the Google form in the show notes, and I want to hear your story. We all do. And if you're interested in the one and only Noel Studer's next level training program, you should use the code in the show notes. It helps the show. It helps you. We all win. And this week, I want to bring on our special guest. We have Tess. She's an avid chess improver, a college student studying opera, and she has an infamous Twitter account. Tess, welcome to the show. Have you had a chance to play any chess yet today?
Thank you for having me. I've just been doing some tactics training today, actually, which sounds like it doesn't matter, but it actually kind of does. Because so I got into chess during quarantine, like late quarantine. I was a junior in high school. Everything was still online. My parents watched Queen's Gambit and made the rookie mistake of approaching their autistic daughter and going, "Hey, Tess, you should play chess with us." I don't know what they were thinking. I think they might regret it a little bit because the next semester I almost failed my classes because I was playing like 8 hours a day of Rapid. Oh, that's wow. All I did. I wasn't doing anything else. I was, you know, I was tired of online school. I was tired of everything. I just played. So and really, that's
kind of
that's how
kind
most of my, yeah. And that's kind of how most of my improvement happened. But I didn't study. I really didn't. I hated puzzles. I'm trying to hate them a little less, but I don't really like them. They drive me nuts because in a game, if you find the second best move and you're still winning, then congrats. But in a puzzle, it's like, no, that's wrong. And it makes me mad.
Okay.
So I didn't study much at all. I did a little bit of openings.
Okay.
But now I've been trying, you know, kind of been motivated to try and actually discipline myself and work to improve, which is pretty scary for me.
And you think puzzles are sort of a key to improvement? Why is that you think that? Have you felt that in your own game, or is it just you hear everyone say it's all about tactics? It's all about tactics.
I mean, I did my first over the board event last Saturday, and I was calculating mostly correctly, but a lot of times I'd miss like the last move of like, you know, a 2-3 move sequence. Like, you know, I'd miss Black's final counter or something like that. So I'm thinking I should focus on, you know, improving my calculation a little bit and improving my patience so that way I can actually calculate to the end of a variation and not to what I think the end of the variation is. You know, taking the time to check and see if they've got one extra response. I think that's important.
Yeah, I find that to be the most challenging part of calculation, right? I can calculate pretty accurately a whole bunch of moves. The problem is, when do I stop my calculation?
Yeah.
And does my opponent have one more move that then crushes me? I'm kind of famous for that in our chess club.
I think that it's really, and it's so frustrating when it happens too, because you think that you had something. So I asked JJ for some tactics to, you know, and it's been, so far it's been fun. It's a little bit scary because, I mean, not to get too deep, I guess, but as a music student, you're kind of, the mindset that you have to have about studying and improving is one where if you're not achieving excellence, then you're screwed. I mean, with every practice session, you have to really be, and that's something I learned from last year, it was my first year of college, is I really had to step up my practice game and make sure that every single time I'm practicing, I wasn't slacking off and I was actively correcting the mistakes I noticed and making sure I was singing the best that I can sing every single time I'm practicing. And that's it's an important mindset to have if you're going to go into something professionally. But then it also creates that sort of feeling of if I'm not constantly improving and fixing my weak points, then I'm not going to survive. I'm going to get swallowed up by the competition and I'm not going to be able to make a living off of this. That's a lot of stress. And it's part of the reason I think I avoided practicing chess was because it's hard to compartmentalize and think like this is something that I'm practicing because I do want to improve, but at the end of the day, it's for fun. Versus something I'm practicing in what a lot of ways is a very similar approach, but it's kind of my whole life.
Yeah.
It's a weird little juxtaposition.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense then that you were using it more as a fun escape if you already have something in your life that's so improvement oriented. But then at the same time, it feels like you've probably developed really awesome skills to improve quickly at things. So have you been able to sort of apply any of those skills to your chess improvement?
Oh yeah. Well, I think part of it is also just my mentality of just eventually you just have to stop with the excuses. Like in the music world, I mean, I personally the whole adult improver thing has kind of always been a mystery to me because at least in music, I mean, there are people who are taking secondary instruments. They're taking classes for an instrument that they've never learned before, and the teachers are usually grad students or like upperclassmen who are teaching for pedagogy experience. And obviously, they're not going to learn as quick, like, they're not going to be as good or learn as quickly as the people majoring that with that instrument or people who started on it younger, but they don't call themselves adult violin improvers. They're just people learning the violin. Like, I don't really understand. I feel like it's kind of an artificial roadblock, you know, saying like, oh, you know, my brain plasticity, it's done, it's over, but I'm still learning. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's true. I feel like, I mean, adults learn languages all the time and pick up new instruments. My dad started learning guitar at age like 40. He's pretty good now.
Okay.
You know, I think it's really just about, I think it's almost a fear thing. Like there's a little bit of that feeling of, I wish I had gotten into this younger. I wish I had achieved excellence in something. And it's also something I hear from people who are, you know, going to college for normal things, which who I'm people who I'm kind of very jealous of in a lot of ways, where they're like, oh, I wish I was good at something like you are. And I think it makes sense then to have that kind of feeling of, you know, I wish I had something that I was really achieving excellence in. And I feel like I can't have that because I started too late. So I'm going to try and reset my expectations. But I think a lot of people have proven that it's all, you know, it's time, it's effort, it's passion. And also that excellence is overrated.
Ooh, okay. Interesting. What do you mean by that?
I mean, at the end of the day, and this is something I have to remind myself a lot, if you're on chess Twitter at all, there's a good chance you can crush 99.9% of the people in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I mean, like 2 years ago or so, I guess 1.5 years ago when I was, well, actually, I haven't really improved much since then. So I was 2100 on Lee Chess then, and I'm like 2100 on Lee Chess now. But, you know, I didn't consider myself very good. I was just like, I'm decent, I'm okay. And then there was a kind of very informal chess club, and I was one of the only upperclassmen there. I was a senior. And the freshmen all kind of looked up to me, I guess, because I know what I'm doing. And I overheard them telling, like, somebody telling someone, like, oh, that's Tess. She's really good. I bet she could beat us all in a simul with half the time that we have. And I was like, you know, that's high praise.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell the difference. And, you know, you can always find somebody that you can beat up in chess, really. You can always find somebody. So if you're seeking that sort of feeling of accomplishment, you can go get it. And then if that's not satisfying, then that ambition, I think it's a good thing. But it also, you have to be careful. I mean, I guess it's another thing just with music is something that I've always had to be aware of. Also, sorry if I talk a lot and I
No,
have
this is
a habit of
great.
interrupting, so I'm sorry about that. But
I got a
is that
question
kind
then.
of, Yeah.
So you've covered sort of the like why it doesn't that matter that much to be amazing because you can already beat people. I guess the other side of it is probably that like if I woke up tomorrow and was like a 2600 GM, I'm not sure how much my life would change because I wouldn't get invites to important tournaments. I would just be a disappointed grandmaster. Like, why can't I get the great invites? Mm-hmm. I'm still playing in the same tournaments. Now I'm just the best player at the tournament and I'm frustrated. And so, yeah, I think it is an interesting point that like it's been remarkable in my interviews with grandmasters that they are generally frustrated because I haven't interviewed mm-hmm. super grandmasters who like those are the ones getting, you know, the invites and mm-hmm. everything. So it's an interesting point.
And it's, I mean, I think it says a lot about, unless you're literally the best in the world, and Magnus, everybody is jealous. Everybody is mad. Yeah. I mean, Anish Giri, who is my favorite, as you know, if you've taken like a single glance at my account, he is neurotic. He's losing his mind. That's why I love him so much. I just want him to get a win. I just want him to feel good about himself. He's top 10 in the world, and sometimes you can tell he still really doesn't think he's good at chess. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you can be top 10, one of the highest rated players in history, and you still don't think that you're that good, or, you know, like, oh, I'm okay, but not like that guy. I mean, I think that's just human nature at that point. You have to just kind of sit back and realize it's an irrational kind of feeling. It's a feeling of inadequacy. Yeah. And that's something you have to face head on, I think. I mean, if you're going to play chess as a hobby, I think at some point you have to, you know, look into the mirror and acknowledge that you're never going to be the best in the world, but you're still going to have fun and you're still going to improve and, you know, probably maybe even kick ass and take names a little bit. Like for me, that's always, I'm a very kind of competitive
mm-hmm.
person.
That's what makes it challenging though at tournaments, because you're playing against people of your rating generally, and it's hard to win most of your games, right? Because they're as good as you. And so then there's that feeling of like, I want to be better so that I can be more victorious. But then when you get better,
and then you move up into the next section, and exactly. Yeah,
the never ending cycle, unless you're mad.
I mean, people ask me sometimes, they're like, should I get into chess? Like, oh, you play? I just started playing. And I want to be like, no, go. Leave while you still can. The way that I think about it, like the way I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again, is that I feel like chess is like the mental equivalent of just slamming your head into a brick wall over and over and over again. It's a terrible hobby. It's not good. People say it's good for your brain. It is horrible for your brain. It ruins you. You're like laying awake at night thinking, why didn't I see this? And then, you know, you try to explain any of this to somebody who doesn't play and they think that you're crazy. But it's a mix between it being a particularly tormenting thing to do and also attracting the type of people who are masochists a little bit and a little bit crazy. Because I think you have to be a little bit crazy to dedicate so much time to studying chess and watching chess. Yeah. And really, I mean, I know that it's kind of more popular now, but I think most of that is BS. It's kind of a bubble of, mm-hmm. I know so many people who are like, oh yeah, I know Gotham Chess. And I'm like, okay.
My family.
Have you heard of Magnus Carlsen? And I'm like, okay, do you play? And they're like, yeah, a little bit. I am 400 on chess.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I only ever play like 1 2-minute game a week. And it's like, I don't know if you can say that that person's really into chess, or if they're into it because there's a very manufactured marketing campaign around it, and humans tend to fall for marketing campaigns because marketers are good at their job.
So are you saying you think the chess bubble might be a fad, and as people kind of
absolutely like, my conspiracy theory is that this, you can edit this out if you want, but my conspiracy theory is that the second chess boom is not what caused the servers to crash, and that the servers were just bad on chess.com.
Oh.
Servers crashed and then they scrambled to cover it up with this massive PR thing. And then later I heard from multiple sources that apparently chess.com does not pay their engineers very well. and their developers very well. So, I mean, I also, my bio literally says prolific chess.com hater. So I guess you know, you're
okay. Everybody from chess.com doesn't sponsor this podcast.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think that, and it frustrates, you know, like, chess and short form content are antithetical to each other. And I think it's silly to try and advertise chess to people my age by making it short form. I mean, there was popularity before they started doing that, and that's because people my age are not stupid and generally do like thinking about things and engaging their brains a little bit and being challenged.
I will say my
so, students I don't know.
Do like the short form because it's easier to get away with playing a bullet game during class than
Oh my god, I played so much chess during Zoom school. I remember once.
Oh wow.
I remember once I forgot that I was using, because normally I would use my computer that wasn't, you know how they do like the Chromebooks managed by your school district thing, like at a public school. I wasn't using a Chromebook. I was using my laptop. Then it broke and I had to send it in to get repaired, and so I'm using this crappy Chromebook. And I forgot that because it was managed by the district, it actually could see it. Like the teacher could, the extension that makes it so your teacher can see everything that you're doing actually worked. And it was an AP class. He was giving a history lecture and talking about like preparing for the AP test or whatever. And I was just like totally playing a rapid game. Like I was like totally in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Did not think that you could see me. And then he shows up. In my private chat, he's like, "Tess, you've got an interesting game going on, but please resign and focus."
You're like, "I can't resign. I'll lose my points. What are you talking about?"
I offered the guy a draw, and I think he accepted.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. Yeah. And then I later found out that teacher was actually a chess fan.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, things made sense a little bit. And then later in class, when I wasn't paying attention, he asked if I was working on my King's Indian as a dig, as to try and accuse me of just playing what's popular, which I've actually never played the King's Indian. So take that, Mr. Beatty.
Okay. I will say it's something I've struggled with as well, because I'm a chess player and my students know that. When I bust them playing chess in class, like, "But you love chess." And I'm like, yeah. "It doesn't matter."
I also love when you don't fail my class.
You need to be paying
attention. That's pretty funny.
Okay.
That's getting pretty funny.
To the people in your life not understanding comment you made, I had to make this connection real quick. I played a game last night and I played quite well and I was winning, but I screwed it up and my opponent had a draw and he missed it and I won the game. And so all day, like, I told my wife and I told people at work how disgusted I was about this game, and they're like, "You won. You're upset when you win? You're upset when you lose? When are you not upset about your chess games?" So it was a good point.
Yeah. Hmm. I think it's funny. I have a bad habit of sometimes, you know, being in a social situation, like on the phone or sitting on the outskirts of a group or whatever and playing, and then accidentally saying things out loud about the game. And people are like, "What are you doing?" Like, "Oh, sorry, sorry. Oh, shoot, wait, I think I have the..." That's actually something I was worried about going into Over the Borders. I was like, "Am I going to accidentally calculate out loud?" Because I do that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Happen. And I did a little bit. But luckily, the way that I calculate is so nondescript that I don't think you can give anyone any information. Like, I don't use squares in my head. I just go like, "Okay, so takes, and then that thing, and then maybe there's that." Yeah. "Oh, do they have check here? Oh, no, because then I have that." That's genuinely what my thought process is. So I think it's pretty inscrutable. I could be saying it directly to my opponent. I think they'd have no clue what I was talking about.
Okay, let's go backwards for a bit and go back all the way to your childhood. Any chess in your childhood, or is it just no chess until the Queen's Gambit?
Actually, I was, this is so autistic of me. I was so, when I was like maybe seven, eight, I think like seven, I had a temporary phase where I was really into chess. I had a Charlie Brown themed chess set because I really, really love, we love the Peanuts in my family.
Who was the queen in that set?
I think it was Lucy.
Patty? Oh, it was Lucy. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Lucy. And then Charlie Brown was the king.
Okay.
And then all the pawns were little Joe Kugels. I remember that.
Oh,
With
that's
the
cool.
sunglasses. It was fun.
Okay, that's good.
And from there, I got the set, and then I wanted to learn how to play, and my dad bought me this book. I think I found it on Amazon, actually. It was this book called, I think it was just called Chess for Children. And it had a dragon mascot.
Ooh.
Like there was like the characters were like either a little girl or a little boy. Probably a little boy, but I think I thought it was a girl because I was seven and a girl.
Yeah.
And then his dragon, whose name was Kirsty, I think. I don't know. I have very vivid memories of this.
Okay.
And apparently, I don't remember this part, but apparently I was so into that book, which was really just the basics of chess, like just like how to move the pieces, what is a check, what is a draw, what is a stalemate. But apparently I was so into it that I would ask my dad to read it to me as a bedtime story, despite the fact that I could read, just because I wanted to hear it from him before bed. So then I did do chess club around that time, but I quit because too this is so stupid. It sounds fake, but one day as we were waiting in the front of the school, like for people to either be picked up or to waiting for the clubs to start, and then the club teachers would come and bring you in. These two grown men had a fist fight on the lawn in front of the school. Apparently, it was some sort of custody battle. Like it was like
No.
the kid's real dad and stepdad or something. And they were like beating the crap out of each other. They were both like very well built. And then like the security escorted them out. And the whole time I'm just sitting there like, oh my God. And then after that happened, I think I didn't want to go to clubs anymore for the rest of the year because I was like,
No.
I don't know how I feel about this. And I think I stopped either that or I just showed up, but like was not into it because I just was so, because I think that's the first time I ever really saw violence in my life.
Wow.
So yeah, I would be GM by now if it wasn't for those two guys having a fist fight. So thanks. I would be the new Judith. I would, because unlike those other girls, I am really, really annoying. So guys don't see me as a sexual object.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know. Except for online. You have no idea the WeChat messages I get sometimes. Hey, are you girl? Are you girl? You have boyfriends? Are you girl?
Wow.
And then when they find out I'm gay, they also have some interesting reactions.
Interesting. See, this is why I just turn off the chat. So I'm sure my messages wouldn't be as annoying as yours are.
I find it too entertaining. It's a problem. Everyone's like, just block them. I'm like, but they're asking me the funniest questions. And I'm liking looking at the gears turn in their little mind.
Okay, as long as you get enjoyment out of it, then that's good.
I think my favorite one was a guy who asked me, hey, are you girl? What's your age and religion? And I was like,
oh,
I've never gotten that approach, so I'm just going to humor him. And I told him I'm Jewish.
Okay.
And then he immediately asked, I think this guy was from Iran, he asked, how do you feel about the Zionists? And
Oh, wow. He's
not
ready
to
to.
get controversial, but I replied, I don't like them because it's
Okay.
true. And then he went, wow, and sent like five kissy emojis.
Oh, okay. That was the answer.
And I think about that all the time.
My goodness. Okay. Yeah, your messages are political and gender related. You've got it all going on.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Your messages. Okay. I'm becoming more and more happy with my decision to turn off the message.
Yeah.
I would find it very distracting to try to play my game.
I also get random Instagram messages sometimes from people who see me in the comment section of like Grandmaster's posts where I write like congrats or whatever. And some weirdo is scrolling is like, oh my God, a girl in a chess comment section? I have to talk to her. And then they message me, ask for some games, inevitably lose and get salty that they lose, and then get mad when they find out that I'm gay and then block me or I have to block them. It's happened a solid three times.
More and more as I hear about the experiences of women in the chess world, I become more and more nervous for my own daughter. I'll just say that. I'm like, oh my goodness.
I showed up for this over the board thing and I knew in theory, about the gender gap, but I was like, whoa, there's like barely any girls here. And I've never really I've not, I mean, I don't, like, compared to, I mean, don't get me wrong, I definitely have experiences with creeps, but compared to, like, what other women have gone through, I tend to not be targeted so much. I think part of it is just because I seem like the type of person who will either kick you in the balls or call the police, or first kick you in the balls and then call the police. So they just don't. So I don't really feel, I mean, I'm intimidated. I was intimidated, but it was more about the so it was the social situation at all. That's why I was really nervous for that. Like once I actually got down to the board, I was so happy. I was so relieved. I was like, okay, I made it through the hard part. I got there. I figured out where I had to go. I shook my opponent's hand. Now it's time to play chess. That opponent actually, best first opponent of all time. He was so cute. He was a 7-year-old boy, tiny kid. Cute. He was so cute. Like when we were playing, and he every time he realized he was in some trouble or really needed to think, he would go really dramatically. And then at one point he fell out of his chair. Like
Oh.
he was just focusing, I guess, and lost his balance because he was so tiny and just totally fell out of his chair. Of course, everybody in the room is like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" Because it's like the tiniest kid. He just goes, "I'm okay," and just gets up and sits back down like nothing happened and keeps playing.
Wow, okay,
And then at the
resilient.
end of the game, he realized I played a move and he looked at the board and he clearly realized that he couldn't stop me from promoting and he went grrr and clenched his fist.
Wow, this is great.
He was the cutest kid ever.
Oh man,
He
okay.
was actually pretty good for a 7-year-old too. I
Nice.
mean, I won, but he was underrated. He was rated like 675, but you know how kids are, so
Yeah,
he'll
you never know.
probably shoot up really fast, I think.
He'll be 2,000 next month.
No, I keep saying like when he's world champion, I'm gonna be like, I have a 1-0 record on Kevin.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids I've played and I've beaten lots of them, and I'm rooting for all of them. I'm rooting for all of them to be on the next world champion. Okay, so you picked up chess then again with the Queen's Gambit after your glorious career got derailed by fighting fathers. It's an unfortunate end. Where were you when you picked it back up? What was your initial rating?
I was not great. I was like, I started on chess. It's confusing, I guess, a little bit because I started on chess.com and then switched to Lee Chess after a couple months. But I was around, I remember being 600, being kind of okay with that, but still kind of annoyed about it. And then getting really t having my first ever experience with tilt, going down to like 400 something. And
Uh-oh.
then writing, this is really embarrassing, and it actually still might be up on whatever the heck what my chess.com account is, where I made this frantic like forum post, like why am I getting worse? I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I keep losing. Like what is happening to me?
Yeah, we've all been
And
there. A different rating.
people,
We've all been
yeah,
there.
and people replied like, chill.
Okay.
And like chill. You're playing. Also, you're playing too fast, which was an issue for me for a long time, actually. I never flagged, but it's because I just blitzed out all my moves.
Okay. And were you
So
playing Blitz when you started, or did you
no, I
start?
was playing rapid. It was always rapid. It was
Ooh.
always 10 plus 0. And then I remember eventually what happened. This is like around late December, I think, that year. So it's a bit, it would have been like about a month since I started playing. I had another tilt session. I got really frustrated and I was like, I'm switching to Lee Chess because I don't want to look at this rating. And,
Okay.
I went on Lee Chess, and then my rating at that point, it ended up being like, once the provisional thing sorted itself out, it ended up being around 1100
Okay.
on Lee Chess. And then
Can I
within the
ask a
next 6 months, I
question?
had hit 2000. So.
So you're at 1100. Are you just happy that the number's bigger? Like, even
No, because
though
I knew.
Okay. All right.
I just wanted to start fresh. Like, I was just sick of the people I was playing. I was sick of the like pieces moving weird. I still hate that about chess.com. Like, why is the default animation speed so slow? It's terrible. But I didn't know that you could change it. Things like that. And I was just like, I'm starting over on here. I felt like I was doing a little bit better. I don't know if I actually was or not. Like, I probably not that much. But I was having more fun for whatever reason. Like it's, I think sometimes you just need to start fresh
Yeah,
and, or at
I'm
least have the illusion of starting fresh. And I just have more fun.
yeah, and more fun is going to make you be more successful anyway, right?
And that is
Okay.
the account that I have 15,000 rapid games on, like a madman.
Wow, that is impressive. And that's
most of those were during from like January 2021. No, yeah, January 2021 through, I'd say, the end of 2021 is when I played like I played an ungodly amount of chess throughout the first half of 2021.
How many hours?
And
a
then
day
I
are you
chilled
playing?
A little bit. Oh, like a lot, like 8. 10? It was insane. No, it was my parents resorted. This is a true story. My parents resorted to blocking chess websites. So they blocked Lee Chess. So then I went back onto chess.com, and then my dad caught on and blocked chess.com. So then I got a VPN and was using that. And then he realized that I got a VPN. And unfortunately for me, he was too tech savvy for me to be able to fake deleting it by just deleting the icon. So he stood over my shoulder and was like, get rid of it, actually. And then used his like parental control thing to ban the search for VPN to make it so I couldn't just reinstall it.
Yeah.
And then, because you know how it is, I just started using my phone hotspot.
Yep.
I never stopped playing.
This is the problem with people who are the next generation after you. It is so hard to digitally control them because they know so much more than you.
Yeah. Although he knew everything I was doing, and I think that's why he was so frustrated. Like, my dad is probably better than me at a lot of technological stuff. So, I was so annoyed when I realized that he knew what a VPN was and how it works. And also, you know, like, that it was a program installed on my computer and I had to actually uninstall it. I was like, God, I can't just, like, turn it off and turn it back on later. Yeah, okay. So I was playing so much chess that my parents resorted to blocking it instead of blocking porn.
And what did that do for your game? You said you weren't studying this period. You were just
it was amazing.
Escaping. Okay. So
I went from 1100 to 2000 in about 6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So just playing. Did you do anything when you were playing? Did you analyze your games? Did you like look at the openings after the game, or was it just boom, game, 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 game?
It was mostly just games, honestly. Like, I did a bit of opening study. I played the London for a long time, and then the Caro-Kann. So, like, literally, it was just Gotham chess rep. And studied a bit of basic theory from there. And then kind of just played, honestly, a lot. I feel like I was kind of in a fugue state for a lot of it. Like, it just all blends so deeply together. I do remember getting really stuck at around 1800. For a bit and getting really, really sick of playing 1800s because they played the dumbest stuff, right. And then I would still get tilted and lose. And
by
then
that,
eventually,
stuff like Stafford Gambit and things like that.
I mean, more like they would just play moves that were bad, but then I wouldn't quite know how to punish them.
Gotcha.
Like moves that I knew to be losing, but I couldn't figure out where my win was. Stuff like that. And when that happened, I had a friend who was pretty significantly higher rated than I was, like maybe like at the time, like 2200 on Lee Chess, actually played some over the board. And we were friends, and we would literally just be on voice call for like hours, just like both playing, complaining about our games. And then I feel like, honestly, maybe even having that, like, just being on the phone, like being able to talk to somebody, even though I wasn't cheating or anything, but just like, you know, and then looking at the games after with him and, you know, where did I go wrong, and stuff like that.
Okay.
Helped quite a bit, and my rating got up a bit more. And
okay.
then
so you were basically the human version of Alpha Zero until
pretty much. I just played like I just played, but I also didn't try any new opening. Like, I think part of that helped. I literally just played D4, London, the Caro against E4, and then just D5 and Queen's Gambit declined against D4 stuff.
Yeah.
And that got me pretty far, but then I got really bored of the London. And I was like, I'm going to learn the Catalan. And then, like, 2 weeks later, Magnus plays it at the World Championship, and suddenly everybody knows what to play against the Catalan. So, you know, go figure.
Yeah.
And then that was a lot of fun. And that was when I was actually really kind of studying lines. I had, you know, I have a chessable course. I was actually had a streak on there. And that was when I hit my highest rating that I've ever hit. That was March 2022, and I hit 2230.
Okay.
Which I've not been able to replicate. I still think it's probably because I was actually studying at that point. I think that probably had something to do with it. The fact that I knew what I was doing in the opening,
Okay,
at least with white.
So to hit 2200, it sounds like you were studying your openings more carefully. You were going over your games with your friend. Were you watching chess videos? Because you referenced Gotham.
I kind of stopped watching instructional chess videos once I hit, like, to the point where just reading an article, going over the game, or watching the commentary would give me the same information. Personally, I'm not a very... I don't... Videos don't help me that much. I zone out too much when I'm watching a video. I need, like, something where I can control the pace.
Okay. Yeah.
I did get some books. Started trying to study endgames, which are still my endgames are I'd say significantly weaker than the rest of my play when they're even. Okay. When there's a material imbalance, like my last game of the Over the Board event actually was really fun. I had it was ended up being a rook and pawn versus knight. And just the way that it was working, I had a feeling I was winning. My opponent offered a draw, but I was like, I think I can do this. And I just went in the zone, and I just calculated everything. And it was great. I can't do that when it's an equal end game, though. I've lost so many drawn end games in the stupidest ways possible. I don't know what it is. My eyes just glaze over.
Yeah.
And then I try to study them,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I think I need a coach. I need to hire somebody to, like, sit me down and force me to learn end games because I will just not do it.
What are you using to try to study them?
I have the 100 end games book, which actually was my best friend during boring classes in my last year of high school. And since it was my last year of high school, all my classes were boring because I just wanted to go to college.
Yeah.
And then I got the course for that. But then I kind of got really, really stressed about college. And that's like, so I went from playing like an ungodly amount
mm-hmm.
to calming down a little bit, which actually helped me hit like 2200. And then suddenly, I'm going to college.
Yeah.
And getting really stressed out, not playing nearly as much. I still haven't been playing I still play, probably compared to some people, they'd say it's a lot, but for my standards, it's really not that much. I'll play a couple games a day.
Okay.
Sometimes, actually lately I've just been doing like the exercises that I've been doing are kind of scratching the itch. And mm-hmm. I think it's been important for me to realize that once I hit a certain point, the just play all the games approach doesn't work.
Gotcha.
But I think it is an underrated approach for when you're like 600. I think,
yeah,
like, you know, there are people who are that rating and they're like, what, I'm studying this course and I'm doing these things. And I'm like, just sit your ass down for like an hour or two a day and just play. You'll figure things out. Like you'll figure out what you have to just get that into your head. Like you'll figure out patterns. You'll realize where you go wrong. You'll play a few really nice games and then you'll have those as motivation and some really comically bad games that you can come back to when you're better. Mine is one where it was an end game and I was up a full rook and then I ended up getting checkmated with pawns.
Oh, wow.
And I just think of it so fondly because I remember losing that game and laughing so, so hard.
Wow.
Like, I wasn't even mad because it was so funny to me.
Okay. I don't think I would have found that funny personally. I have a hard time finding my losses funny. I wish I could. I think that is really great advice, though, because, like, to me, it feels like when you're 600, what you're really just trying to do is not blunder.
It's like learning to read.
Yeah. So it's like just playing helps you not blunder less because you just start seeing the board better and better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely something my daughter's working
on. My lamp falling apart? What the?
But my daughter is a
I'm trying to screw this back together before my childhood lamp decides to completely collapse. I'm glad I noticed that. Okay.
But my child is a wild sacrificer. She went 2-0 last week. And I was like, oh, cool. Let's see these games. It was like giving up a knight for nothing. And I was like, what? And she's like, no, you don't get it. In mm-hmm. 7 moves, I'm going to mate them. And I was like, well, only if they play really badly, because that is not a good
life. Yeah, I have that. I do this thing. People think I play psycho chess because I do. But a lot of times in my head, it's principled or logical. So like I'll play a move. Or I'll say, like, this probably doesn't work, but I think I have chances with it. I'm going to play it. And then I play something, and my opponent goes, what is that? Like, what are you doing? How does this make any sense? And then they see the point. They go, how did you come up with that? Like, what thought process were you using? And my answer is just kind of like, it just looked nice. That's really, I think that's the issue with the just play a ton of games approach, is that it means I'm a very, very intuitive player. But a lot of times I'll make a move without fully understanding why.
Wow.
Sometimes, though, I make a move without understanding why, and then my opponent plays something and I realize, oh, that's why, because it means that I have this and I'm totally winning. And then I feel surprised.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, like a total idiot who just got lucky and like a genius who knew but
Right.
didn't know that I knew.
Yeah, you really sound like AlphaZero.
Yeah, no, it's really
like, so why'd you play that AlphaZero? I don't know, it's working.
Yeah, it looks fun. That's also my, when I'm losing or if I'm in a tricky situation, a lot of times I'll play, or even when I'm winning and I just can't think of them, I just play the craziest. I'm just like, you know what, does this crazy attack work? Probably not. And I'm probably going to lose, but I'm going to play it anyway because I feel like it, which is a terrible thing to do. I mean, if you know that it's a bad move,
yeah,
why would you play it? And I do that all the time. And then like two moves later, I'm totally lost. I'm like, why did I do that? I knew it was bad. I knew they had that response.
Right.
And then I still just was like, wee ball. You know, I don't know, like YOLO. Why? I have no idea. Why do I do that? I'm really not reckless in any other facet of my life. Like, I don't do things that I know are bad ideas. So it's really strange.
Do you do that more when you're playing like a lot of games in a sitting? I know for me, that's more of a problem where it's like, if I play a ton, then I care a little bit less about each individual move. Whereas when I play one game, I'm like, okay, every move has to be perfect.
I think part of it for me is like, I've noticed I do that a lot more, like play just kind of weird chess when I'm playing like a friendly game in person, where, you know, I feel like it, you know, it's experience, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and then I'm like, you know what? Even if I lose this, there's no record of it. There's no, you know, and it's something to discuss. And then after the game's over, I can explain why I knew it was probably a bad idea, but I thought that there was this interesting thing where you go here and I go here, and then maybe I have something there, but then, you know, oh, of course I missed that. But then, you know, it's just kind of interesting to have a chance to play your wild ideas and to see that they don't work, because I think that's, it's a lot easier to get into your head by going through it than by looking at an analysis board and going, oh, but what if I did play that thing?
Yeah, it
sounds
like
remember it.
A lot of your chess journey has been learning by doing rather than like learning by studying or thinking.
I'm too
about
impatient.
It.
If I just think about it, then I want to play.
Yeah, and which is really remarkable, because I think there's like this big discussion right now of like the difference between knowledge and skill. And it seems like a lot of your chess is like built up skill, whereas a lot of my chess is like reading books and getting all this knowledge and then trying to turn it into skill and failing half the time. Whereas for you, it sounds like a lot of yours is just the skill that you've built, which is really
I will say one thing for me, though, is that I've had to really kind of grapple with lately is I have an issue with self-sabotage. And for me, I think a lot of the reason, other than like the whole music student stress thing that I was kind of really avoiding trying to get better at chess, was I'm scared that I can't. I'm scared that I'm done. When I hit my peak, you know, that was like my natural best I can play, and then I'm done. Or even worse than that, I guess, it's just, this sounds really bad. Like, I hate the concept of people who are also normal people like me, especially if we have other common interests, and then they're just better than me at chess. It makes me really mad.
You're like, that's my thing.
Yeah, and also, like, how come you can do that and I can't? And then it's like, because they're studying more.
Right.
So if I don't study, then I can have plausible deniability. I can be like, oh, you know, I could probably get to 2400 on HS. It's just because I'm not trying. So, but then if I try, suddenly I have to face that insecurity. And that's kind of scary. But fortunately, I guess, I went to that tournament. I had so much fun. And I'm just so excited to go do more.
Okay.
Like, I'm just
Let's
so
talk
thrilled.
About that. Was that your first tournament then that you ever played
Yeah,
in?
Yeah, my first over the board. thing I've ever done.
Wait, was
I
your
play, I mean,
first over the board thing, period?
well, other than like some casual games against friends and then a little bit of chess at the park in New York City.
Okay. So you went to your first tournament. What got you to play in your first tournament?
I found out about the Chess Center in Rochester and how
Oh.
it has those weekly events, and I knew that I would never get myself to go if I didn't face my fear before college stress started up.
That's
Because I would
smart.
always have an excuse.
Okay. So was this an
And
LA tournament?
I was in San Francisco. It's at the Mechanics Institute.
Okay, cool.
And I have family up there, and they actually were on a trip during the tournament. So I was like, hey, can I use your house? And they said, sure. And so I went up, and then they came back actually the night of that same day that I played the tournament. So then I just got, just spent some time with my cousins. And so really, it was just a no-brainer. It was like, if you don't go to this, there's no excuse. You've got nothing else to do, really. And let's just go and try it and have some fun, see what happens, see if I like it. So still kind of a little bit nervous about what if I don't like it? What
Yeah.
if I get, like, what if I get bored in a long game? The games were actually short, too short, I felt after. Like they, because it was pretty short. It was like 40 minute games.
Oh yeah, those are kind of
It's
short.
pretty short.
What
But
section did you enter?
I had to be, because I'm unrated. I was unrated, so they made me play the under 1200. And I was
Ah.
kind of annoyed about that, because I was like, I'm going all the way up to San Francisco. You're gonna make me play under 1200.
Yeah.
And then I was tempted to try and play the woman card and be like, actually, I'm only unrated because I'm protesting USCF, which is just a complete lie. But then I was like, I'm not going to do that because that's just a lie. And I'm not a liar, but I definitely did think about it. I considered it for a couple seconds before remembering that I'm not a liar.
Okay.
And so that was actually something I was nervous about because I was scared. What if I go and I get it beat up by these, low-rated people, and I realize that
Yeah.
I'm actually really not that good, and that like the disparity is really massive, and I can't really convert my online skills to over the board. And I ended up going 3 out of 4. I was hoping for a perfect 4 out of 4 after I won the first two, and then I got. But I've learned things now. Like, I tend to have a low appetite because of the medication I'm on, so a lot of times I just don't eat when I need to. So like going into the third round, it was 2 p.m. and I had only eaten all day a peanut butter bagel, and I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, everybody else was going and getting lunch. I was like, oh, whatever, I'm too lazy, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then during the game, suddenly I'm like, I'm really hungry and exhausted and not thinking very clearly. Huh, that sucks. And then I just blundered an exchange, and then I spent all of this energy fighting it out to try and make a draw. And I got to a point where I think with correct play it could have been a draw. My score sheets are terrible because that's one thing I learned, is that
It's hard.
I lose track so much. Like, I'll just write like the move in the wrong spot, and then like look and be like, none of these are accurate. What did I
Yeah.
do? And then have to spend like 2 minutes just fixing my score sheet. So that's like, something to practice. I might just print some out and then play some long games with friends like
That's a
online,
great
see if I
idea.
can do that just to practice writing my moves down.
Yep. Because
Because,
I play every
yeah.
week and I still make mistakes. Almost every week, there's at least one mistake on my score sheet. And I'm like, really, man? You've been playing
Yeah.
this long and you still don't have this down?
Yeah, mine are all like crossed out and insane. So I barely know what happened like at the end. But I thought I might have had a fighting chance to draw, but I was really irritated because I kept finding moves that would let me make a draw. And then the guy found the only move. And I was really annoyed about it.
This player sounds quite good. What
He was
was her
rated
rating?
850. He was rated 850.
50.
But he was not bad. Like, he was finding the responses to all my tries, which was really irritating. I was really getting annoyed about it. And then eventually, I lost the game and I resigned. And then I was feeling really down for a bit.
Yeah.
Going into the last game, I was like, I can't believe I just did that. Now my rating's gonna be totally wrong. I actually thought I was gonna end up with a rating under 1000 because of that, because my first, and I really just did not want that to happen because it'd be, I don't know. As much as you try to not care about rating, it ends up being a point of pride. I just, I wanted a 4-digit rating at least. So that way, my friends, especially like my longtime chess friends who have been incredibly, really excited for me to go do this,
Yeah.
and also who have been saying, like, JJ thinks that I can be 1700 just by playing a couple more events. I think he's exaggerating a little bit there because he doesn't even see me play very often. I don't know like where his understandings of my skill have come from, other than looking at a couple of my Lee Chess games that I've sent him.
Okay.
But he's kind of my unofficial chess coach. which is funny because like normally he charges for to be a chess coach, but instead I just like ask him for books all the time and he just tells me because we're friends, I guess. I don't
And he's a
know.
nice
And
guy, right?
yeah.
Okay,
And you know, so that
so
is that. But then I ended up in the last game I played that really nice end game that like
nice.
not my opponent was he was maybe a 12-year-old kid and he was super nice. And I remember when I'm playing that, I kept playing these moves and he looked at the board and went every now and then he'd go, dude. And then after the game, you know, he had offered a draw and I had declined it, even though it was a little bit drawish because I thought I had a win. And then I was kind of like, sorry, you know, a little bit like I feel a little bit bad because you probably deserve that draw a little bit. Like, you know, at some point in the game, you know, I did a really stupid sacrifice that probably wouldn't have worked well, but then he blundered something. But, you know, it was just like a whole mess. So I felt a little bit bad that I had pushed at all. I felt like maybe it was a little bit bad sportsmanship. But he was, and you know, he was pretty young. So I just like was a little bit like, uh-oh. But he smiled at me and he's like, that was an amazing game. And I was like, yeah, that was probably my favorite game of the event. He was like, mine too, even though that was the game he lost.
Wow, that's really good stuff.
And I mean, he just like was gushing about my end game conversion. And I was like, man, this kid loves chess. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
That's an attitude that, you know, I'd like to have, especially because he was clearly very competitive. You know, he was clearly
Yeah.
not happy about losing, but also able to appreciate what I played, and that made me really happy. And I felt like it was a good way to end the tournament by reminding myself that I actually can't, especially because end games are what I'm insecure about a lot of times. You know, I kept thinking like, oh, this is probably winning, but can I find it? Like, can I do it? And then I just kind of stopped thinking about anything but the game and just had this, you know, mental clarity where I just played it. And then it was so satisfying. It's so much fun. And then I ended up, so I went 3 out of 4 and that ended up being tying for first, which meant I was kind of really pissed off that I lost the third game because otherwise I would have won. I would have come clean first.
Right.
But I still won $42. And if I
Right.
had come clean first, I would have just won 60. So, you know, not a huge deal. And provisional rating is 1100. So
Nice.
I didn't go under 1000. And mostly, though, I just had so much fun. Like, I just had so much. It was just really fun. And I feel like, you know, I have ADHD. Life is kind of stressful and busy. And then sometimes just like getting to sit there and allowing yourself to hyper focus like that, you know, obviously you have to keep an eye on the clock, but really just, I was a little bit nervous about like, can I focus for that long? And then I found myself afterward thinking like, that was really fun, but I want to play longer games next time.
Yeah, okay.
And I realized like, no, I really do like this, maybe a little bit too much. Now my dad's worried that I'm gonna like flunk out of college because
Just
all I'll
play.
be doing is preparing for these tournaments, these weeklies. But the good news about them being weeklies is that, you know, there's always next week, so.
Exactly. I love that about the weekly tournaments. It's really fun. Wow, so it sounds like you had a really amazing
It was
experience.
really fun.
You got to experience a lot of the different challenges and great things of tournaments, the whole food situation and trying to control how that works out, playing the 850s who are actually really good at chess. It's the most maddening thing about chess is that when I played 20 years ago and you played someone who was 850, you knew where they were.
Yeah,
Now you play
now
someone who's
everything is insane.
850, yeah, you're like, I don't know, are they gonna be an
Yeah.
800
And my
streak?
last opponent was unrated, so I was totally prepared in my head. I was like, I'm totally gonna go 2 out of 4, aren't I? But no, then I won. He
Yeah.
was pretty good too, but he was actually not as strong as the 850, I didn't think. Also, but the annoying thing though is that the 850 is my only opponent who was an adult man. I was so mad that I lost to him because I was like, they say that there's like psychological studies. I learned about this in AP Psych. About God, I'm really reminding everybody how young I am, like immediately. Like I like tried not to do that. And then I'm like, oh yeah, this thing that I learned when I was a senior in high school, which was 2 years ago, by the way. when I took AP Psych and we were talking about the concept of like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And one of the examples that she gave was their studies about women playing as predicted by their rating against anonymous opponents or other women, and then playing lower than their rating would estimate that they would play. Against men because of social pressure
Oh, interesting.
expectations. And I knew about that. So I went in, I was like, I'm gonna prove that thing wrong. I'm not like that. I'm built different. That's not gonna happen to me. And then I lost. And then part of me thinks that that's why. Because I was like, I'm built different. That's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna lose to a man. That's weird. Like that's lame. I'm not gonna lose to an adult man. And then I did. And then he ended up,
Yeah, go
I
ahead.
guess, like in the order of, you know, like performance scores or whatever because of who he played. He ended up, like, of the people who tied for first, being like the highest in the ring. I was so mad. I was like, you gotta be kidding, this jerk. He was totally a fine guy. Like, we didn't say talk or anything. He was totally fine. But, you know, I'm like, this douchebag, this absolute, you know, like, this guy, like, his hair is so stupid and he's just like whatever. And I'm like, it's just like some guy showing up to have fun. And I was just like seething about it for a solid half hour or so before I calmed down.
Were you kind of like, oh, it's an old guy, he's not gonna be good?
No, he wasn't old. He was like a young, maybe like in his mid late 20s.
Okay.
So I was kind of just like, if I lose this, then I'm proving that psych study, right? Okay. It was like kind of my thought process.
Yeah, that's some added pressure.
And I think that was, I actually think, I have thoughts about that. I mean, I know I've made like 4 threads about this on Twitter. So you're probably, if you've seen those, you're probably aware. But I think that the biggest, one of the biggest factors, I think there's 2 factors. I think one of the biggest factors that affects women in chess is that every single game feels like you have to make a political statement.
Hmm.
You know, you have something to prove. If you win, you win. If you lose, there's another point in their database of why women shouldn't play this game, you know? I mean, which is a lot of pressure, especially even at the higher level. Like, no wonder they don't play the Open. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine that stress? I can't imagine. Like, I cannot even comprehend that level of stress. And then some people really, I doubt they think about that. Like, no, I'm sure they think about that. They must. I mean, you can try not to. You can try to get it out of your head, but it's a factor that's so clear.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like there's no way that's not a thing. For the record, the other reason that I think is that people just lower their expectations of their female students or don't ask them in interviews. Like, when you see, like, nobody's asked Alice Lee yet, do you want to be world champion? When Ali Reza Firouzja was her age, he was an IM, and he was asked at an interview. This is true. He was asked in an interview, like, do you want to be world chess champion one day? Who's asking Alice Lee that? Nobody. Why? She's the same rating.
Yeah.
Because she's a girl. Duh. I mean, like, there's really no other way to think. And, like, that's got to affect things. It's got to affect the way that you think about yourself, especially when you're that young and that impressionable.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really, I actually think that's probably the number one factor, other than, like, the harassment stuff. If you get rid of the harassment stuff, I think that's, like, the number one thing. Because that also explains why Judit did so well, because she had that, you know, that support system, especially, like, you know, of her older sister and her dad, and that feeling of encouragement and, like, knowing that you can be the best and wanting that. It actually makes me so mad, actually, now that I think about it, how they treated Ali Reza as a young teenage international master versus Alice Lee. That's so gross. That's terrible. I mean, like, I've thought about it before, but now I'm thinking about it again. Shout out to Alice Lee, by the way. She's my goat. I love her.
Phenomenal player. I wonder also if that's why there are, like, when I go to tournaments, I'm always like, oh, there's lots of little girls playing. Not as many as boys, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good point. Like, when you're that age, you don't feel that pressure as much, right?
And
like,
I think it's a chess
player. And then as you get older, you start to, like, realize it more. And then
I think it's also a factor of parents and coaches seeing a young boy who's good at chess as a future champion and a young girl who's good at chess as a young girl who has a hobby.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, maybe.
You know, subconscious or not.
Sure.
You know, there's that feeling of, like, would you want to pursue this? Which is really scary in a lot of circumstances for parents to think about. But I think with the boy, especially, you know, with things like sports and competition, a lot of times they're more willing to see that as an option.
Yeah,
you know, especially, and then also I can't even blame the parents, because, you know, you hear about these things, you hear about all this harassment and all this, you know, rape and just all this horrible stuff happening. Do you want your daughter to do that? I don't know. Like, maybe you do try to encourage them to do something else. Maybe you try to dampen their ambitions a little bit because you don't want them to get hurt. And, like, who's to blame in that situation? I don't even know. So, and I think that I've noticed not many people talking about that side of things when it comes to women in chess, and people talking about, because I don't know, it's just a thing that I feel like more people should be discussing or considering. And I think that having a new generation of women chess coaches would make a big difference. I think, I don't know why I'm talking about this now. I mean, like, I mean, I guess that's probably what you expected, because every third tweet on my account is me going on a feminist rant, but I think that's a big factor. And I think
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's tough. I think that's an easy change to make compared to some of these other ones. Like
Having more women coaches.
just yes, and also just as a coach, being aware of that bias and actively
Oh.
fighting it, and you know, and as an interviewer, you know, trying to ask people in similar situations, like similar ratings, similar ages, the same sort of questions. You know, thinking like if she was a boy, what would I be asking her?
Yeah.
You know, I'd probably be asking about her future. You know, why aren't I? And then that, you know, asking that, just like setting that up. I don't think people should be pressured into wanting to have that level of ambition if they don't have it. But I think people have this assumption that women are not going to have that ambition. And I think that's not true at all. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Getting back to your chess as we're wrapping up here. So do you have plans then for more over the board tournaments? Are you
Oh,
planning to play in college?
yeah. We try and play every week because, I mean, I'm kind of a hermit, or like last year was kind of a hermit. I didn't really have friends, too many friends. So I just kind of stayed in my room all the time, being miserable when I wasn't, you know, practicing and going to class. And I don't think that was good for me. I think I need a hobby. You know, I need like a place to go, something to do on the weekends, because especially weekends, I mean, in college, it's so easy to just spend a weekend shut in your room. So I think socially, it'll be beneficial, and then I'm also just really excited. Like I'm really already looking forward to. I mean, this Saturday is my sister's birthday, and then I fly out to school on Sunday, and then next like the weekend. So that next week, I mean, I think I'm gonna play. I don't see why not. Classes will have just started up. It'll be syllabus week anyway, and then I've got a long weekend because of Labor Day. So it seems like
Sweet.
a great time to introduce myself to a new chess club.
That sounds amazing.
So
And
yeah, that's I'm really excited.
are you studying anything right now? You said you were working on your tactics. Is there anything else you're
Yeah.
studying, or is it just kind of like playing, tactics,
I'm
balancing
doing
both?
some more like structured tactics stuff.
Okay.
You know, like things with themes, because I hate random puzzles. I just can't, it's just not how I think about
Hmm.
chess. I think about like, you know, like I need to know how the position has gotten to that point, or like what are the ideas in the position. I hate just being given a position and nothing other than that and looking for a tactic, because that's not how I think in an actual game. You know, I feel like in an actual game, not after every move, I'm not just like, hey, is there a tactic? That's,
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some people, probably some people do that, but I'm not one of them. So it's just never felt like a natural thing for me. And as a result, my puzzle rating is actually lower than my actual rating on Lichess. And I'm the only
Oh.
person that I know who has that. I'm the only person I know
I've never met anyone
who.
who had that, so that's interesting.
Yeah, like so many people I know, they're like, oh, my puzzles are 500. My puzzle rating is 500 better. I'm like, mine is like 1900 or something. Like, I'm so impatient or so bad. You know, I'll play the second best option and then get mad that I, because it's still winning. So who cares?
Oh,
Things
yeah.
like that. So random puzzles don't work for me. So I kind of just realized, you know, I can still do tactics, but I should just get some that are more structured and thematic and where they're selected by hand
Yeah.
and each one of them has a point. And that's been fun. And then, I'll probably go back to reviewing the opening lines. I need to learn something new with black because I still just play the Caro and it's getting ridiculous.
That's a good opening.
It is, but like for fun at least I need something else, because like I'll be playing Blitz with people and they're like, can you just play E5? And I'm like, I don't play E5 because there's too many lines.
I hear you. My students get really annoyed because I'll play them at school. None of them know how to play against the Caro Kann, right? They're like, what is this? I'm like, you're not even putting a pawn in the center. And I'm like, yeah,
Yeah,
well,
I'm preparing to.
I will.
You play E4? Actually, this is a D4 game now, dude. That's
Yeah.
why that's actually what I like about the Caro. It's
My
just
daughter
like,
makes me play E5 when we play. She's like, Dad, it's not good training. No kid plays the Caro Kann. Just play
yeah.
E5. I'm like, okay,
My
that's a good
friends be like,
point.
can you just play E5 so that we can have fun?
Yep.
I'm like, fine.
Yeah.
So I need to probably learn a little bit of E5 just to satisfy people. And then this is ridiculous, but like I have a friend who won a while ago when Nishigiri did a Twitter contest where he asked like the question, like, you know, what's the best chessable course that exists? The winner person with the best response will win my full course with video, my full night of course with video. And then my friend replied with Sopico's Queen's Gambit accepted course, and that was the answer he was looking for, and she won. And she's like, I don't believe him, like, play, you can have my account. It was like, you
Whoa.
know, you can't, he gifted it to her, So she can't gift it to me. That's not how it works. So she just like she changed the password to something silly.
Oh, nice.
And then was like, have it, it's yours. And I haven't gotten around to really studying it yet, but I mean, I have it. It's like, well, normally it'd be like $200. I figure,
Yeah.
you know, why not?
Why
At
not?
some point, you know, there's like so many, you know, there's so many lines. So obviously it's ridiculous. Like, that's a ridiculous course, but you know what? Well, at some point, I have it. Why not like try it at least? And then I can play something else that's not the Karokan every now and then.
Okay. Well, Tess, we have run out of time here, and this has been a fascinating, wide-ranging conversation. I've
Yeah,
really
sorry.
enjoyed it.
I'm very ADHD.
I have a feeling a lot of people are going to want to contact you. What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
So my Twitter is Turnabout Tess, and I tweet a lot there. Usually, nothing too substantial. A lot of times, it's just me complaining or making stupid memes. But people seem to like it, so follow me on there. My DMs are open.
Okay.
Unless you are that guy who just DM'd me the other day on an alt, pretending to be somebody else before admitting that he was actually just begging me to unblock him, and then I ended up blocking him again. You do not have permission to DM me. Everybody else can DM me.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's probably the best way to reach me.
Okay. So there we go. Well, Tess, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so happy that you had such a great first tournament experience. I'm looking forward to seeing you tweet about your next over the board experiences and sort of
I need
watch
to think
your
of better tweets than time to beat up some kids, parentheses, in chess before somebody doesn't see the in chess part and calls the police. So
Uh-oh.
that'll be fun. That'll be a fun journey, figuring out what
Yeah.
else to say.
It'll be a fun journey. All right. So for all the rest of you out there, I hope this is that week where you gain all your rating points. Maybe just alpha zero it like test. Just
Just
play.
play 15,000 rapid games.
I mean, that's
Easy.
the way to do it. I might do that. I'm just gonna
It's how to gain 900 rating in less than 6 months,
Yeah,
but you have to be completely psychotic, and also it has to be during quarantine, so you can never leave the house.
you gotta have a lot of time on your hands. All right. Well, I hope this is the week of improvement for all of you. And if it's not, come back next week. We'll have another guest and we'll have another conversation. I'll see y'all next week, everybody. Goodbye.